Amen. Thank you, Debbie. Beautiful song. Wonderful truth. Praise the Lord. That is excellent. In 1 Chronicles, the story is David, of course, has all the materials and everything to build the temple, but God would not allow him to build the temple, so it's up to his son, Solomon. And verse 20, David is, well, this passage, David's explaining everything, and he says to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. It's a huge task, unbelievable task, but be strong and of a good courage and do it. And then he says, fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Solomon, you're not in this alone. You're not going into this project by yourself. You are not going to be in the middle of it by yourself. You're not going to be in the valley of it by yourself. He said, God is going to be with you. This is God's will. And since it's God's will, he's going to carry you through. But he said two little words here in verse 20, and that is, do it. Do it. But here's something that could get in your way. Fear not. And so I continue with our July theme of serving, and we're talking about attitudes. I want to talk to you about the attitude, one of the attitudes anyway, that has caused so many things to not get done. Mission fields that have no missionary. Cities that have no pastor. Churches that don't have nursery workers. Bus ministries with no captains. Bus ministries with no drivers. The list, you can just fill in the blank, where somebody is not doing it, and that's because of the attitude, I'm too scared. I'm just too scared to do it. I'm too scared to go forward and just say, God, here's my life. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'm too scared. I'm too scared to make that commitment. I'm too scared to put a little check by my name because I know somebody's going to get me. You know, I'm just too scared. I'm too scared to say, I'll work with master clubs. I'm too scared to tell Dawn Pearson I'll work nursery. I'm just too scared to serve God. Father, please bless the preaching. I pray that you will help us this morning to get victory over this last attitude that we look at that keeps so many from serving the Lord. And so please guide us and direct us and let us know that when your will is being done, you're always going to be right there. And you can see it through if we will just do it. I pray you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started the year with the theme for such a time as this. The month of July has been the time for service. We do go over into August this morning and tonight, just because I had to finish this section. It got longer and longer. We have looked at an obligation for service, the origin of service, the options of service, the objects for service, the objective of service, the outlook of service, the omission of service. And then we started with obstacles to service. And we talked about, number one, our adversaries. We talked about, number two, our acquaintances. And then we kind of got held up on our attitudes, number three, and the different attitudes that are obstacles to service. Attitude, I'm too sinful, where we just like sin. Number two, I'm too slothful, where we're too lazy. Number three, I'm too sleepy, where we become weary in well-doing. Number four, we talked about last Sunday morning, I'm too scarred, just have too many scars from sin. Talked about number five last Sunday night, I'm too sidetracked. I'm busy here and there. I got too many other things. I'm sidetracked from the main thing. And then on Wednesday night, we talked about number six, I'm too simple. I just don't know enough. We talked about number seven, I'm too selfish. I got too much going on for myself. Number eight, I'm too sad. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And number nine, we talked about it's too soon the attitude of procrastination. In other words, we just put it off, put it off, put it off, never gets done. And we end up today with, I'm too scared. I'm just too scared to serve God. I look at this list and I look at all these things. I'm just scared. And so I've written down some thoughts about that. I mean, this last attitude is an obstacle for a lot of people. It's an obstacle, stops a lot of people. Maybe they're even in Bible college and it just stops them. It could be any number of things, and we're going to look at several different ideas as our fears and that we deal with, but it is definitely an obstacle for many. But I do want you to notice back in what I'm going to call our text, 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." You know, we all have a gift of God. Now, we salvation is a gift of God. We understand that, and that becomes very obvious. But God, when he gave us eternal life, he gave us gifts. He gave us abilities. He gave us talents. He gave us something we can do for him, to serve him. And all that Paul is saying to young Timothy is, God, hey, stir that thing up. God has put in you something you can do, and it's time you stir that thing up. And he says, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. But then he says this in verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And so immediately I think, you know, this same problem was going on back in Timothy's day. This same problem was maybe even part of Timothy's life. It's like I know what God wants me to do, but I'm scared. I am just scared to do it. But I love what it says, because it tells us clearly where fear comes from, and it does not come from God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. It is not from God. In fact, 1 John 4, verse 18, look at it real quick, and this is all introduction. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The fact that God loves me, there's no question about he doesn't want me to fear, because it brings terror. But on the other side of that, understand that love doesn't produce fear. Our love for God, the result is not going to be fear. His love for me, the result is not going to be fear, but it's going to be comfort. It's going to be security. My love for my wife is to comfort her. It is to provide security for her. It is not to bring her worrying about things. It is not to cause her to have fear, because fear brings terror, and I certainly don't want someone that I love to be terrified. There's no way. And any husband that is obeying God and loving his wife, he doesn't want that. Perfect love, in fact, the Bible says, casteth out fear. Now, our response to his love is to love him back. And again, the result of that is not fear. I love him. It's not fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. And again, I don't want my wife to fear. I want to cast out that fear. I don't want her to be afraid of anything, even noises at night. You know, though I may be terrified, I don't want her to be terrified. You know, honey, you're my hero. Go check it out. Is there any other option here? No. But I don't want her to be afraid. I don't want. So I'm going to do everything I can. And understand, God does what he can to take away our fears. We don't have to worry about our salvation. I'm always amazed when I meet somebody who says, well, I hope so, when you ask them if they're saved. You know, then you go through it and they say, oh yeah, I trusted Christ as my Savior, but you know, I still do. And I think, what a miserable way to live. You know, praise the Lord, we have a know-so salvation. You may know that you have eternal life. Praise the Lord. He doesn't want us to fear that. And if you have that fear today, number one, make sure you're saved. And number two, believe what he said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it is not some, he doesn't want you to fear and worry about that. Okay? And so, again, he wants to make us secure. If I want to make my wife secure because I love her, wouldn't God even more so want me to be secure? Of course, no doubt about that. Now, when the Bible talks about fearing the Lord, it's talking about a respect. It's talking about being in awe of the Lord, what he can do. It's having a respect for God. And by the way, that is being tossed out today by so many people. The devil picks at that, and the fear of the Lord again is not something that it's a respect for him and awe. And if you're lost, you've done wrong, you're caught, oh yeah, there is a fear of judgment, no doubt about that. But again, it is a respect. It's kind of like gravity. Thank God for gravity. Without gravity, we're not here. It doesn't happen, all right? We need to have a respect. Do I fear gravity? No, in fact, I don't even think about gravity a whole lot. But we need to have a respect for gravity, don't you think? Yeah, and so somebody says, well, you know, I don't think gravity really exists. I don't believe in it, and I have no respect at all for gravity, so I'm going to jump off of this 10-story building. Well, you made a huge mistake, I guarantee. You know, it's a respect for that thing. It's a respect for electricity, a respect for it. I can mess around with hot and neutral wires. No big deal. Look, you are in for a shock. I guarantee you. You have to have a respect for that. Now, do we fear electricity? No, we turn our lights on. We change light bulbs. I mean, we do all that, but there better be some respect for that. Otherwise, we may do something foolish. So, again, to get the job done, Solomon, you're going to have to get rid of fear. Fear is going to try to stop you at every different place. Nehemiah, we've been talking about it. We'll talk about it again tonight. Preached a series on it back 5 years ago or so. And over and over, that fear could have stopped him from building the walls. But God says, listen, understand where fear is coming from. It is not from me. I want you to be secure and comfortable. I want you to be, knowing that I've got everything under control. And if you're going to get the job done, you've got to overcome the attitude of fear. It is an obstacle that stops so many people. And here's some fears this morning that stop us from serving. I mean, somebody could be on fire, going all out for God and doing great things, and just all of a sudden, stop. And you find out it's some kind of a fear. Number one is the fear of the fight. The fear of the fight. And more I'm watching people drop all around because they're afraid of the fight. The devil, the Bible says, as a roaring lion. Amos 3:8 says, the lion hath roared. Who will not fear? It's why he roars. It is exactly why. And more we are watching Christians. It's like this. Well, I know the story of Job. Yeah? And that's why you stop serving? Yeah! It is. Why would the story of Job cause you to stop serving? Because I don't want to lose this. Oh. You're afraid that God will say, consider my servant, and then use your name? Yeah. And then the devil will have at it. Oh. So as Debbie just saying, we want to serve God on the mountain, but we don't want to serve God in the valley. Now these are big words, okay? And I, as I'm preparing this message, I'm thinking, I'm trying to make deals with God. Now God, I don't really want any of that stuff to happen to me either. Who does? But do we want to serve our God? Well, I mean, it's kind of like if Job just existed in the pew of his church, none of that would have happened. I have to say that's very possible. I mean, we have a missionary here this morning, and seriously, John, if Brother Ashcraft, we're on first name basis, right? But one side is, but anyway, if something happened, you know, where you just said, you know, I'm just going to sit in the pew and I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to be a missionary like my dad. I'm not going to do that. I could just go to church and, you know, I could, and God will be pleased with that. And you know, maybe I wouldn't go through some of the, I'd have to say, and I don't know Brother Ashcraft that well, but I'd say he's probably been in a valley or two. Probably gone through some tough times. Might be in one right now. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, fear of the fight. Because you know, hey, if I start serving God, if I do this, I mean, even the littlest thing, if I work in the nursery or if I, whatever it is, you know what? The devil's going to come after me. He is. He is. I'm not one of these charismatic preachers that says, hey, yeah, everything's going to be fun. Because it isn't always fun. Yesterday was a work day, and it was fun watching God's people work, but it was work. I mean, it just was work. You know, it's hard to say work's fun, but, you know, the work got done, and it did, but it was work. And there were some trials that went along with it. Of course, always is. Satan's always going to fight service for God. If he wants to roar and devour anybody, it's going to be the servants of God. Always is. Is fear of the fight, has it stopped you? Because it is war. It's war with the devil and his army. It is war. We serve God. We serve the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy 3 and verse 22. We serve him. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 22. This is so true. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Hey, this battle, it's his battle. If I'm serving, if I'm mowing grass, if I'm cleaning toilets, if I'm working nursery, if I'm teaching a Sunday school class, if I'm an usher, whatever it is that I might be doing, okay, it's part of his war. It's serving him. He's the king, and he's the king of kings, and he's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And my Bible says he's going to fight for me. Amen. Well, you say, but what happened to Job? What did happen to Job? God doubled everything he had. What did happen to Job? He was guarantees heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, yeah, but what about all the suffering? What about our Savior hanging on a cross? You know, let's try to understand that the fight is his fight. And when we serve, he fights for us. Always. Look at Joshua 10, verse 8. I know so many people trying to get out of this, trying to avoid this. I don't want to fight. 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 I just want to love. I want to love. I want to love. I want to love. And the truth of the matter is, you know, if we are going to serve him as our master, he is at war with the devil. And there's no love in that at all. Joshua 10 and verse 8. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel, and he gave them an extra day to win the battle. He fought for them, and supernaturally they win the battle. Why? Because God was involved in the fight. And as you serve God, understand, yes, Satan's going to roar at you And yes, his roar is going to be hideous and it's going to be scary. And he always roars just like a lion roars to strike fear into the people. But understand, our God is bigger. Amen. And he's going to fight for you. Fear. Do you have fear tonight? You know, more and more in our day, and I preach it. We're talking about it in Revelation. We have a bullseye on us. Satan is after us. You know, Brother Harden, we talk about different things, and he was talking this morning about, because I'm always kidding him about what he says, and that some drone's going to hear what he said, and he's going to get more flags by his name, which already is so many. But he was talking about the mosquito-sized drones. You ever heard of that? Or mosquito drones? And they're little computer mosquitoes, and they fly, and they're flying around and listening and all that kind of thing. Again, this is all, who knows? Is it happening? Why not? Why not? But he said something as we were walking away, and he said, yeah, the same thing that might take something out to take a blood sample or something like that, well, the same little thing could put something in. Wow, that got the old mind going. You know, we're headed for tough days. You say, that's exactly why I just want to chill for Jesus. You know, chilling for Jesus. New ministries popping up all over the place. Well, I wouldn't be afraid of the bullseye because my Savior had a bullseye on him. He hung on the cross and he was beaten and torn to shreds and hung on a cross. Listen to me. Fear of the fight. I'm not saying that we're not justified that the lion's roar is kind of scary, but we need to press on. Yeah. Got to keep going. 2 Kings 6. And you know this story. Second Kings chapter 6. I love this story because it's what really goes on. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 13. We're not going to read the whole story. He said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan, talking about the man of God. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? They're surrounded. They're in deep, deep trouble. I mean, it's over. Verse 16, he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the servant, he's looking around saying, you know, Elisha's losing his mind because we're surrounded. The enemy has us. And Elisha got frustrated with him, I think, and he prayed, verse 17, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You know, fear of the fight, all right, the enemy has you surrounded, but they are surrounded. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Number one, the fear of the fight. Please don't let the fear of the fight keep you from serving God. Number two is the fear of flesh. Oh, how we worry about other men. Fear of flesh. Psalm 56, verse 4. Psalm 56 and verse 4. It's not like God didn't warn us and tell us not to fear men. Psalm 56 and verse 4. The Bible says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Why won't you serve? Well, I'm just, you know, the law says that there's different things happening and the ACLU, and I just don't know. And Psalm 118, verse 6. Psalm 118 and verse 6. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me. Psalmist asks a very, very, very good question, didn't he? What can man do unto me? What could they possibly? Okay, so the government, what could they do to me? I mean, what is the worst thing they could do to me? It's an interesting thought, because all of us would say, well, the worst thing, it seems the worst thing they could do is kill us. Okay, imprison, that's a bad thing, but ultimately to kill us, and that sends us to heaven. I mean, really, the psalmist has it right. What can man do? And Satan uses men to bring a fear to us, because we're so concerned with men. You know, the ACLU and all their ravings and rantings and all that stuff, government issues where parents all over have stopped disciplining the Bible way their children because of fear. Now, again, I wouldn't tell you to do that in a grocery store, but I wouldn't have told you to do it in a grocery store before the government ever said boo about it. It's something you need to do at home. It's something it's private. It's a personal thing. I'm not for you embarrassing your children in public. You deal with it in private. But the point is, so many parents have stopped spanking their kids because we're afraid. Okay, so we're not going to do right because we're afraid. Again, it's that fear of flesh. You know, it's like, obviously, when you're at work, you are being paid to work. But on a break or something like that, you can talk to people, invite people to church, maybe talk to somebody, you know. You can at least say, I'm a Christian, when they start cussing and swearing. You can say, hey, whoa, you don't talk like that. That's my God you're talking about. He died for me. Amen. Yeah, but it's like we clam up. Oh, I don't want to get in any trouble. Fear of men, fear of the flesh. Again, that's a service to the Lord, is telling people about the Lord. Yeah, you shouldn't rob your employer. You shouldn't do it on company time. I'm just saying, when it's your time, still, don't be silent. Don't be silent. But then comes those two words that we deal with so often with teenagers, but it's maybe even more true with adults, and that's peer pressure. It's a fear of the flesh. You know, well, I would serve God, but people are making fun of me. They're making fun of me. And we have a lot of young people serve God. They were here yesterday cleaning, working, taking their Saturday, serving God. Praise the Lord for that. What a wonderful thing. And we have a lot of young people, they kind of plan and ran the bus day at the park. I guarantee there's somebody, look at them. I wonder who they think they are. All these kind of weird things. Peer pressure. I remember before I got saved, I would try to get Christians to slip up, you know, just because that'll stop them, you know, get them to sin, get them to be like me as an unsaved person. That'll stop them. Because there were some Christian people around me, and you know, that's why some of you teenagers, you cuss and swear, you know, peer pressure. You didn't learn that at home. You certainly didn't learn it at church. You certainly didn't learn it in your Sunday school class, but you just want to be accepted. So you blankety blank. Yeah, I'm cool. Blank. Yeah, it's kind of like a belch. And that makes you cool. Let me just say this. Anybody can cuss. Do you understand? Anybody. You are not cool. You are at the bottom scale. I mean, somebody who has a very low mental capacity can cuss. A child can cuss. All they have to do is repeat the word. A parakeet, not a parakeet. What's those birds that talk? Was it a parakeet? Well, oh, a parrot. That's what it is. Not a parakeet. See this whole side. Do they talk too? Sure, Tim. Anyway, a parrot can cuss. You know, or say, Polly, want a cracker. But the point is, you know, it's that pressure. By the way, you do that to be accepted, but you're not much of a man or young lady, because anybody can do it. The truth of the matter is, a real man doesn't. It is easy to speak it. It is hard, perhaps, to talk right. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. The whole idea is this. I'm so worried about what everybody's going to say. I'm worried about being made fun of. I'm worried about, I'm fearful that if I start serving God, if I get in the bus ministry, people are going to make fun of me. People are going to laugh at me. People are going to think I'm nuts. People are going to think I'm a radical nut, whatever. Isaiah 51 and verse 7, it says, "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men. Neither be ye afraid of their revilings." See that? Very clear in Scripture. The people in whose heart is my law. Don't be afraid of the reproach of men. Don't be afraid of what they say. Don't be afraid when they mock you. Don't be afraid when they attack you. Don't be afraid when they come at you. It's okay. Just do right. You just do right. I'm gonna take care of you. Hebrews 13, verse 6. We're moving right along. Hebrews 13. A lot of verses, and certainly this is not exhaustive today, but gives you something to think about. Hebrews 13, 6. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Are you afraid of men? Are you afraid what somebody might say? Is that why you won't sign up? Well, good night. I mean, if I start serving in church, people think I actually love the church. Listen to me. I would be very, very concerned with what he thinks. Amen. And I wouldn't worry about anybody else. Fear of the fight, fear of the flesh. Number three is fear of failure. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 20. 1 Samuel 12 and 20. The Bible says, "Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." He says, fear not, you did it. You did a bunch of wickedness. But he said, hey, turn not aside from following the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart. You know, we all fail. Everybody fails. Talked about last Sunday, talking about the scars that we have from our sins. But our past is littered with failure. And I'm talking about servants. I mean, your past is littered with failure. But keep in mind, the failure cost you in the past. Don't let it cost you in the future. Don't let it keep costing you. Oh, but I tried to do a bus route and I had a wreck with the bus. Or I did something stupid, you know. Or I tripped a child and they fell and they cut their knee. Or you know, any number of things. Well, I tried to work nursery and I was back there in the rocking chair watching the babies and I fell asleep. Oh, I can't believe I did that. And there are just all kinds of things and bad experiences. I think about the lady that went soul winning for the very first time and her and another lady. And she started, they're standing there, they let them in the house, and they're standing at the door, and they got to talk a little bit, and the lady started leaving, she walked into the closet. I mean, you know, you just, and it's like, oh, I was so embarrassed, but you got to go on. You got to keep going. Every soul winner has said the wrong thing. Every soul winner has got their tongue twisted and said all number of things. It's like preaching. I had a lady one time, years ago, had a lady that was keeping a cassette tape. Remember those? A cassette tape of all my bloopers. She delighted in it. She loved to play them back. And I mean, I'm just kind of sitting there thinking, I mean, all the different things and some of the foolish things and some of the bad things in our failure of serving God. You know, bad experience preaching and maybe preaching at prison and saying something totally wrong. And it happens. It's happened to people here. You know, painting something and totally botching the job. I'm thinking of something right now. And it just, you know, looked worse afterwards than it did before. You know, you name it. I was thinking back to when the pastor we were just new converts, and the pastor wanted somebody to coach the basketball team, work with the kids in the school. You know, I mean, I was terrified. I mean, I raised my hand because I thought, I want to serve God. I don't care what it is. You know, I just want to serve God. And you know, I've told the story many times, but I was terrified. My biggest problem, as far as outwardly that anybody could have seen, besides my hair that went down to my knees, but it was my language. And now I'm going to coach a basketball team. You know, my temper and my language. And in my mind, I mean, honestly, when the pastors, we finally got it settled, and I became the, started working in the Christian school because I'd been laid off. And by the way, when you love God, you know, whatever opportunity you get to serve God, you'll take it. You don't care. You're excited. Amen. But I remember, you know, this is it. I'm it now. This is it. Wow. What am I going to do when I get mad? What am I going to say? Oh, I was scared. So scared. Because refs never make right calls. Right? You know that. If you grew up in Indiana, you know that. Oh, I was terrified. But it did, you know, and that fear alone could have stopped me. That fear alone. The pastor said, he said, now you're going to have to order new uniforms this year. We have X amount of dollars. I said, uniforms? I can do that. I did not have a clue. You talk about one of the biggest failures, and I mean, I was embarrassed. I got the uniforms and got all these cool numbers. I thought they were cool numbers. They were illegal numbers. We had one game where our whole starting five got technicals on them because their numbers were illegal. And the parent, you can hear parents in the center, what's that all about? Who did that? Yeah, you just, where are you going to hide on a basketball court? Well, everybody fails in serving God somehow, some way. But you fear of failure cannot stop you. You got to just go back out there and do it again. And if you were a bus captain, if you were a Sunday school teacher, if you were an usher, if you know, whatever it might be, you've got to say, you know what? I am not going to let the devil's roar. I am not going to let his influence. I am not going to let his fear stop me. Number four is the fear of following. The fear of following. You see, to serve, you have to be a servant. And that means there's a leader. And he's the Lord. And boy, do we struggle sometimes with that. He said to the disciples, follow me, follow me, follow me, and I'll make you fishers. And they heard that and they said, oh, well, we know what that is of men. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. In the Old Testament, Israel, they had to follow the pillar of a cloud and the pillar of fire. And they're leaving Egypt. Hallelujah, we win. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And all they have to do is follow the cloud, follow the fire at night, and leads them right to what? The Red Sea. By the way, what a picture of Christian life right there. Honestly, so good. Look at God. He's leading us. Oh, what a blessing. Boy, this is so good. A pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. And look at this, and voila. Oh, there's the Red Sea. And what is, hark, what's that noise behind us? The Egyptians. Now what? Oh, praise God. Because he led them through. Amen. I'm going to tell you what will change your life is when you go through. Amen. The going through. It's just like Debbie just saying. Up on the mountain, oh boy, trust God, I believe God. I want to hear what you say when you're in the valley. Going through. Because there is a fear of following. You know, why? Because we're following. You ever play follow the leader? And we, you know, I've talked about this before and illustrated it different ways. But, you know, where's this guy leading me? Where in the world is our, you know, what's he going to do? And usually, you know, it's the biggest, baddest guy that leads the way. And, you know, here you are. You're the little runt in the back. And you're following the leader. You know, well, what's he going to do that is going to be dangerous for me? and you start thinking about that. Well, understand, we are following the biggest and the baddest and the most awesome. We're following God. And I guarantee as we follow him, he's been where we're going. Yeah, but he can handle it. What about poor little old me? I don't know if I can handle it. All service, there's a first time. Don't care what you do, there's a first time. Many of us have good memories. Some of us have some bad memories of the first time we served God. You know, for a preacher, often it's that first message. And I don't know of any preacher in this room, anybody that teaches or preaches or whatever, first time you got up, you said some pretty silly things. You did something. I often talk about my speech class and my first speech that when I stood there, and you're not allowed to hide behind anything, and I stood up and I did this the whole way through, and the teacher put, "Are you a penguin?" The love and the compassion, you can feel it, right? But there's a first time, and again, as we follow the Lord, there should be lots of first times. There should be many, many, many. And it honestly, those following times can be very terrifying. Psalm 91, verse 5. Just about done. Psalm 91, verse 5. I hope that we have someone here that one of these fears, you're going to push it aside today. And you're going to say, you know what? I am going to serve the Lord no matter what I fear. Psalm 91:5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." That terror by night, it makes me think of following God, because sometimes that following it seems awful dark. It really does. It just seems dark. It just seems, it's like following blind. You know, I can't see. God, I can't see. If you'd show me what's up there, I'll go forward. And God just says, "Trust me. Trust me." You see, it's just like at night. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. Deuteronomy 31. I hope you're writing these verses down. Maybe you can't turn to all of them. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. "Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Why? Because there's something for you to inherit. That's why. God has an opportunity for you to inherit. And it's a matter of just saying, you know, I think God wants me to do. He does. He does. Well, you know, God seems to have laid on my heart, and he did. And he wants you to inherit that thing as yours. He wants you to take advantage of this opportunity to inherit it, to take it, and to do it. Singing, teaching, soul winning, bus route, nursery, fear of following. God, you know when you put a check mark in service, what you're saying is, I trust you, God. I trust you. When I surrendered to preach and to go to Bible college, ultimately, what am I saying? I'm saying, God, I trust you. I don't understand any of it. Had no idea what I was getting into. None at all. But God, I do trust you. And as a new Christian, he wanted me to trust him. Number 5, fear of feelings stops so many Christians. Circumstances in our lives where our feelings take over. Circumstances that are just things that happen. And again, all things work together for good. That's Bible. That is what the Word of God says. There is no question about that. But we don't always believe that. And these things all happen in our lives. And it's like my feelings. My feelings. Psalm 46, don't turn there. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, I'm telling you, those are some pretty tough circumstances. And the psalmist said, but I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to let my feelings take over. Our service should never be dependent on our feelings. Well, I'm happy today. Well, I'm sad today. Well, I feel good today. Well, I feel bad today. Because the job has to be done no matter what, whether it's cold out or whether it's hot out, whether it's raining, whether it's snowing, whether it's sleeting, whether it's hailing, whether it's perfect, the job has to be done. Many never get involved because their feelings run their life and they never serve. Circumstances can change a person's feelings. They may be happy as the sign-up sheet is passed around. But then the time to do the job comes and it's like, why? Well, because the dog ate your flowers. The baby spit up in your face. Car wouldn't start. You understand, circumstances change feelings. I don't know how many people, you know, and if this happened, I do not know this happened. So don't, you knew about, no. But I just wrote it down. I'm having a bad day. I can't work nursery today. Well, you know, the babies are still going to come. I'm having a bad day. I can't be on my bus route today. Well, you know, the kids are still waiting on somebody to pick them up and bring them. And so we don't show up. Therefore, we don't do. Therefore, it doesn't get done. Acts 27, verse 24. Acts 27, 24. Here's a bad day. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. This is in the midst of Euroclydon. Big storm out at sea. People are all going to drown, they think. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You know, cheer up. Cheer up. By the way, if Paul would have told him the whole story, cheer up, it's going to get worse. Yeah. Cheer up. Amen. But you know what? Got to keep going. Got to keep going. A couple more verses. 1 Kings 17, couple verses and one more point. And it'll go real fast. 1 Kings 17, verse 12. I hear guts growling. 1 Kings 17, verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. The widow, you know. And honestly, you know, her attitude's not real good there. It's our last meal, then we're going to die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Go ahead. He says, go ahead and make your last meal. What's he saying? He's saying, make your last meal and die. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Do as thou said. But he said this, make me thereof a little cake for what a man of God. Amen. I want a pancake first. You know, make me a pancake first. Then go ahead and make your meal and die. But I want my pancake. Amen. With Aunt Jemima syrup. Doesn't that sound good? He says, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now what's he saying? He's saying, you know what? It's going to be okay. Serve me first. That's what God says to us. Serve me first. It's over. It's just over. It just is over. It is over. What is it? It's over. I mean, it's just, that's how it is. There's no doubt about it. It's over. We're not going to make it. You know, okay, well, before it's over, could you go run your bus route? Before it's over, could you please work nursery? Little baby has a diaper for you. Before it's over, could you make some phone calls for us and invite these people back to church before it's over? You don't understand. I mean, everything's going wrong in my life. Okay, well, before everything totally collapses, as long as you're still breathing, could you go tell someone about Jesus? That's what he's saying. You know, before it's over. Ezekiel 24, 18. I love it. By the way, every one of these fears has come to every one of us here. Those in the ministry, those not in the ministry, but in secular work and trying to serve God. So I spake. Now watch this. Ezekiel 24, 18. Here's one of them. I told the Lord, I said, I do not want to say, I remember folks, oh man, every time I read this verse. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. That might be one of the most amazing verses in all the Bible. Don't understand that circumstance. But you know what? If we had a fear of feelings, if everybody had that attitude, there would be no pastors. There would be no assistant pastors. There would be no Sunday school teachers. There would be no junior church workers. There would be no bus captains, bus drivers. There would be no deaf ministry. There would be, do you understand? Feelings. Sometimes you just have to go on. You know? You just have to go on. Sunday school teacher pours their heart out for their class, and one of the kids hurts them. I've watched them quit. Bus route, I mean, it's set up. It's set up to be hurt. You know that. Some of these bus workers, I think about David and Gabby and their big day and Melody and all that. And you know, what are they doing, preacher? They're setting themselves up to get hurt. Because they're loving some of these kids. And they're going to love them. And they're going to love them unconditionally. And then they're going to get burnt. And my fear, if you want to call it that, is that they'll quit. Because many do. I just don't want to get hurt. Last thing, number six, is the fear of the future. Fear of the future. Boy, is it ever a fear. Fear of the fight, fear of the flesh, fear of failure, fear of following, fear of feelings, and then a fear of the future. If I do this service, what is going to happen next? If I start serving God, what will He want me to do next? I hear this all the time. I hear this from young people who said, wait a minute, if I surrender my life, God's going to call me to some nasty place like the North Pole to be a missionary. Or some hot desert place like Mexico. No. Why do we think evil of our God? Why do we think God wants us to be miserable? Why? How could we ever think such a thing? I was talking to the Pick and Paws the other day. We just stopped in and they were talking about the Azores, and the more they described it, the more I thought, why would anybody? You know, it just didn't, there just was a lot of things that, oh, it's an island, oh, yeah, you know, where you can get blown out into the ocean. But their hearts were there because God prepared them for that, for such a time as this. And you know, you talk to missionaries who are in places where they eat bugs and stuff like that, and I don't want to eat bugs, but their heart, they're so excited. Why? Because you know, they put their trust in God and said, I'm going to serve God no matter what. And then we get it in the back of our heads, well, if I do this, if I do that, it won't be long and God will have me doing this. Don't you trust the will of God? Everybody, every Christian should surrender to God's will. Every adult, every person should say, God, I surrender all to you. your will, no matter what. I surrender all. Matthew 1 and verse 20, I'll just read it to you. If I can get my page turned. Talking about Joseph, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Wow. We always read that story Christmas and we think nothing of it. Boy, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. You talk about fearing the future. God says, Joseph, it's okay. Did you understand Joseph could have said, I'm done. I'm out of here. Deuteronomy 24 gave him every right to put her away. They were in that 1 year period. They were in that engagement. He could have said, this is off, done. She's been unfaithful. God said, no, Joseph, fear not. Don't let this stop you. The future is very, very good. I don't know how many people missed out on their future because of fear. God had it all set up, and because of fear, you missed it. Could have been a Sunday school class, junior church, could have been working a nursery, could have been a bus driver, could have been any number of ministries and opportunities, and wow, you missed it. Luke 5:10, last reference. Luke 5 and verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. They were fishermen. Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Can you imagine what went through their minds? You know, reeling in men. Wow, this is a different kind of a ministry. I don't know what all, but you got to admit the fear had to come across them just a little bit of the future. The whole idea was it's going to be a total change in your life. I'm going to be honest. Once you start serving God, it is a total change in your life. It is, no matter what it is. Yesterday was a community, kind of a community fun day, and a lot of fun things were going. A lot of free fun things, and it was neat. I thought it was an amazing thing, but I thought of all the folks that were over here working, you know, and never even gave it a thought. A lot of them just never. It just wasn't a thought. Well, this is my opportunity to serve God. I'm going to do it. Never even gave it a thought to go out there and have fun instead. Again, it's a total change when your mind is geared toward, I'm going to serve God. Trust Him. It's just like salvation, you know? Trust Him. Trust Him. He loves me. And then that's enough right there. I can trust Him. Perfect love casteth out fear. If you just let Him love you today, you will find that little paper is just an exciting thing. It'll become very alive in front of you. Wow, I can do this. I can do this. There's things I see I can do. In your mind, you'll think of things that aren't even on that paper because they didn't all get put on there. And wow, I could do this. And there's so much I can do for God. So much I can do. What a privilege it is to be able to serve the Lord. Let's all bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.